God bless you. I believe we ought to help God's children every chance we can. I've noticed in this life that things may be good down your house right now, but if the Lord tarries, they will be a tomorrow. And so you better go to putting some blessings in the bank, and because you're going to need some down the road. And Jesus said, give, and it shall be given. That's amazing, Brother Jeff, that you did that. It's burning on my heart tonight before you even got up and said something. The Lord showed me what to write to this man out of our mission program, out of church. And you'll never go wrong doing right. The Lord has built our ministry at Liberty Baptist Church on the principles of two things. And that's preaching and exalting Him, and that of giving and helping His people. And I love quotes. I love to write down what old men of God have said. I don't know where I got this, but I think it's one of the greatest quotes that I've ever heard said under a church setting. There was a man that had been to heaven a while, and a fellow walked up to him and said, "Now I notice you've been here a few months. He said, what have you learned since you've been here?" He says, "Well, it's funny that you asked me, because it's three things burning on my heart of what I've really learned since I've been here." He said, "Number one, I've learned that what I spent, I lost. And what I saved, I left. But what I gave, I have." And I've tried to live by that principle. And if I could preach a message to help anybody's church tonight, beside letting God have the reins of your church. Somebody said, "Well, we don't like the pastor running things." Well, let me say this before I go home. If the pastor's the pastor, he don't even get to run things. He's got to mind God. And if you'll just get out of the way and let your preacher be what God wants him to be, and support him and back him and love on him, and help God's people, the Lord sure will bless where you go to church. And it's just good to be here tonight. Let's do something now, man. We've took up two offerings. That's enough to kill any Baptist tonight. But I'm glad to see you smiling. Let's do something before I preach. I'm just trying to get the hand of God tonight. I appreciate these men minding Him and the good songs and the singing. And let's just stand up and let's reach our hand out to our neighbor and say, "We're glad that you come tonight." Let's do that and welcome folks under the old tabernacle this evening. Tell folks you're glad that they're here. It's good to see them tonight. I love you, preacher.
I love you, too.
I love you, man. Hey, young man, good to see you tonight. Love you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, amen. Good to see folks being friendly. If you got a Bible this evening, let's be finding our way over into the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1, for our text verse tonight. I'd like to say, by way of introduction, we'll stand and honor this reading. I know we've had you up and down, but exercise profiteth little, but a little bit will help you, amen. So let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God tonight, found over in the book of Nehemiah. I'm going to try my best to be brief this evening. I mean that. It's something I really want to get to that's on my heart, and I just want to try to mind him. Please pray for me tonight. I have 2 more nights, and I've come here for one reason, and that's to exalt our Lord and to try to be a blessing to the people. So please pray for me that I would have the direction that God would have us to go in the preaching. The Bible said in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren — I like that word, it's a good wholesome Bible word, brethren. I'm glad I'm in the family. I'm glad I'm kin to some folks tonight. And so the Bible goes on and he says this: he and certain men of Judah, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, that were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, they're in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and I mourned certain days and fasted, and oh, what a verse, and prayed before the God of heaven. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We know that you are our God in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that we can access your world tonight by your Son. Thank you for the Word of God. I want to thank you for the songs that's been sung this evening. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of God that we've sensed in our presence tonight. I want to pray especially for this preacher and his family and, God, their needs. And I pray you touch hearts to be sensitive to you tonight. God, I feel in my spirit you've showed me what to do. Now I pray you'd give me the unction to do. Help me, because I sure am a needy preacher tonight. I pray you'd let me be a blessing to the people. Thank you for these folk that's come out tonight. Touch us now and help us, and we'll be grateful to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight you'll notice that Nehemiah is one of the greatest books in our Bible. If anybody wanted to know anything about leadership, it would do them good to study the book of Nehemiah. Here in Nehemiah, he is a Jew boy, and he's been taken out of his homeland, and he's grown up in a strange place. He's had some of his brethren come back from the old town of Jerusalem, of where his forefathers preached and worshiped our God of the Bible. And they brought unto him some sad, sad news. This is what they said in verse 3. They said, the remnant that's left of the captivity in the province, they're in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And I'd like to preach on this topic this evening on America is in trouble. America is in trouble. We have a landmark that has been established in our country today. September It notes a mark of one of the saddest days in America. I've not come to bring a down spirit on the meeting, but I believe with all of my heart, if the men of God don't get back to preaching the Word of God, we'll never experience revival in our country again. Now, I want to say tonight, by way that America is in trouble, you'll notice the broadcast. Have you got the news? Have you heard what's going on in our country? Have you noticed in the day of Nehemiah, it's a lot like our day. In verse number 3, no longer were they a nation, but they became a remnant. There's not many of us left in old-time religion tonight. It seems like now that a Bible-believing church has become a church filled with hatred and animosity. But I want to remind you something tonight. As I elaborated upon last night, we, the men of God, did not write this Bible. We are instructed to preach this Bible and to live by this Bible. And folks, tonight, no doubt you belong probably to a local New Testament church. I'm a local New Testament church man. I think after you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been baptized scripturally, you've been submersed, you ought to attach yourself to the born-again believers of the local New Testament church. God never does things around the New Testament church. In the mind of God, before we ever was brought in this world, God the Father had the church upon His mind. The church was not an accident. Friend, you better be glad there's a God in glory that had the church upon His mind. And therefore, tonight we find that this broadcast came and there's just a few people that was left. Said, there's a remnant. I'm glad God is interested in remnants. My mama sewed for the public. She'd go into the old stores, and you know what they had? They'd have a box of remnants that nobody else wanted. And my mama'd get them remnants. And honey, when she had that old quilting frame down and she was doing what old-timey women did, that's putting them remnants together, and it looked real ugly while it's going on. But when she turned that quilting pattern over, honey, let me tell you something. Oh, it's something real pretty on the back. Ain't you glad we got a God in glory tonight that is interested in the remnants, in the misfits of this world that nobody else wants and nobody else cares? Hallelujah. I'm coming to tell you tonight, there's a God that's interested in remnants tonight. I'm glad He was interested in us. When nobody else wanted us, I'm glad He picked us out where we was and loved on us and put us together and making something great out of us. Glory to God. Thank God for a remnant. And so the broadcast, He's talking about the remnant. Then verse 3, He gets to talking about the reproach. He said the walls is broke down and the gates is burned with fire. Turn me up, sound man, if you would. But I want to say tonight we live in a time of great rubble. Boy, it seems like the things that used to be just are not. I love what the preacher said. Now listen, I'm not going to downplay any heritage that we have being Baptists. But I want to tell you something tonight. I'm glad there's a God of glory that got a hold of me before the Baptists got me. As a matter of fact, that may be what's wrong with some of y'all tonight. The Baptists got you before the God of glory got you. Amen. But boy, when you figure out that God's interested in remnants and doing something with you. And I don't want to downplay our heritage because, boy, we got a heritage. Thank God for the men of God that's walked before. But I'm glad that I pastor a church tonight that I ain't got to read about what God used to do.
All right.
I'm glad I get to pastor a church tonight that I get to get it on what God is doing.
And let me tell y'all something tonight. God's doing big things here that we can't even see. I had an email this week. Don't even know where they are. And that's just between them and me of what they said, what God done for them here this week already. Let me tell you, just because you don't see God doing nothing don't mean God ain't doing nothing. God is a God of surprise, and He's a God of splendor, and He's a God of glory, and He does many things that we know nothing about. God is in the sinner-saving business. And so we see the rubble, a lot of things is tore down, but let me tell you something. Ain't you glad God's interested in just a few people wanting to do something for His honor and His glory? Boy, how it would thrill my heart tonight to see the wind of heaven fall upon this congregation and let us weep our way to God one more time. Oh, it'd do me so good to see us pastors get up on an altar and get things out of our hearts and out of our soul that's grieving the Holy Ghost of God, that we may lead our people like our forefathers did back yonder years ago. Oh, I don't know about y'all, but the broadcast come and things wasn't looking too good. I'm reminded tonight of things in our country that's not looking real good. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but I believe we still got a God can do anything. Anything. His ways are past our ways. And His ways are past our finding out tonight. Now I want you to say, first of all, America's in trouble. Now you'll notice the broadcast. They shared about the remnant, and they shared about the rubble, and then they shared about the reproach. Said, boy, we're just in a mess. Just in a mess. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. I'm scared for our grandchildren. These little old young'uns on the front row there tonight. Turn these monitors down just a little bit, please. These young'uns on this front row tonight, I'm scared for them. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share just a few things and get to where I need to get. America's in trouble tonight. First of all, I want to say we have forsaken the sovereign's person. We have forsaken the sovereign's person. Let me tell you something. God is on the throne, and nobody's got Him off the throne. He's still in charge. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy this evening, turn with us and mark it over in your Bible, the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And you'll notice here in the text, verse number 10, I love what it says. You see, America's in trouble because we've forsaken the sovereign's person. He said in Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 10, He said, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee in the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which ye dig not, vineyards and olive trees which you planted not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now listen, though, preacher, tonight. It's nothing wrong with having things. Just don't let things have you. I pastor a people that God has so blessed. But let me tell you something. Sunday is the Lord's day. That's the day when you come and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But we live in a generation. I wish somebody would help me preach on a Wednesday night. We live in a generation that's been so blessed. We forgot about who planted our trees, who dug our wells. We forgot about who's filled our barns. Boy, our pastor, a people that's so blessed, and some of them has got their blessing out of bounds. They go to Sunday, it seems like it's lake day or golf day. That's not the day for that. It's the Lord's day. It's family day. It's a day that we're to come together and praise and glorify the God of glory. I'm going to tell you, America's in trouble because we've forsaken the sovereign's person. God has been good to you, America. Church, God's been good to you. We all ought to be in hell with our back broke. God's loved us so much, I don't know hardly near one of us had to walk to the meeting tonight. We went to a cupboard and most of us picked out what we would have to eat. Most of us reached in a closet and picked out what we wanted to wear. God's been so good to us. And I'm going to tell you, we're in trouble because we've forsaken the sovereign's person. Number two, we fainted at sacred principles. We have fainted at sacred principles. Principles of this Bible that God left us to live by and to govern by. We live in a generation. There's a man good enough to drove me this week in law enforcement. One of the biggest opportunities he sees is a generation comes up that knows nothing about respect or authority. We've got a generation, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not this generation's fault. It's the fault of the mom and daddies, amen, that's not taught this generation to run and rule their lives by this blessed book. Boy, we fainted at sacred principles in Romans 13 and verse number 1. You'll notice here Paul is writing to the church and he penned something down that would do our whole country good to listen to tonight. Romans 13, verse number 1. And I'm going to tell you something. You may wonder why that our leadership is in office tonight. It may be because of repercussion of making God mad. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Wouldn't that be a blessing if America would repent, put a Holy Ghost filled preacher in office? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Instead of turn to the soothsayers, turn back to the Bible on their face before a desk and pray, God, I don't have the answers and man don't have the answers, but oh God, we know you got the answer tonight. We fainted at sacred principle. The Bible says this. It says in verse number 4, for he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he's a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You know what's one problem that we've got tonight in a society? Nobody is scared of the repercussions of doing wrong no more. They just slap you on the hand. They'll break in. Kill your family. Slaughter your family. You take up. Well, did you know a man in my community? He was put on court. And he was put on probation because he picked a cat up and threw it across his yard. And a neighbor seen him and reported him. I'm glad nobody's been watching where I live. We live in a day, save the whales, kill the babies. Listen to me, people. It's time that America wakes up. This ain't a politician rally. This is preaching out of a King James Bible that a God of heaven left for us to live by. This isn't a hate gospel. This is about the standards of a holy book. We have forsaken the sovereign's person. We fainted at sacred principles. And then I will say thirdly tonight, we have favored strangers' petitions. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 1, man, you're talking about a passage tonight that'll help you where you live. Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 7, we have favored strangers' petitions. I don't know why that the minority runs the majority. I've never figured that out yet. Now watch your Bibles. said in Isaiah 1 and 7, your country's desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Do you know why God established boundaries for marriage? It was because of bringing in foreign gods. Our forefathers established this country on the principles of men that followed this Bible. There's been men that has fought and died that we may gather together tonight and read out of this Word of God. Did you know I had an email today in that motel room? And by the way, thank you for putting me in a nice place to stay this week. But I got an email, and did you know not far from here, a federal judge has brought upon the legislation of one of the cities within a rock's throw of your county that they can no longer dismiss in Jesus' name in their town legislation. They're having something September the 16th. Let me tell you, a lot of folks, you say, well, Christians don't need to be in politics. I wish the God of heaven would bombard Washington with old-timey Bible-toting, Holy Ghost-filled people of God. You see, we've favored the strangers' petitions. I understand that we are the land of the free and of great opportunity. I'm a mission-minded man. I've done campaigns overseas. But I noticed this, when I went to their country, I had to act the way their laws were. I didn't know a minority was to change our laws. You see, when y'all come visit our church, you'll do as we do. And so I'm the guest here. I do the way y'all do. And so when folks come here, they ought to do the way we do. We don't worship in mosques. Buddha's not our brothers and sisters tonight. Listen to me, young people. Jesus Christ is not a way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Him. We favored strangers' petitions. Then fourthly, we have flirted with Sodom's perversions. Watch this, Isaiah 3 and 8. You remember, God wrote the Bible. He says there's nothing new under the sun. He meant what He said. Now look what it says in Isaiah 3 and verse number 8. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen. Who would ever thought of that? And here it is, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. The show of their countenance doeth witness against them, and they declare their sin is Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. I want to say something tonight. And I feel like that it's very timely, if I could say it, and I want you to remember what I say. Judgment is not the result of an unkind God, but it's the result of an unobedient people. Can I say that again? Judgment is not the result of an unkind God, but a result of an unobedient people. We're in trouble. You see, we have forsaken the sovereign's person. We have fainted at God's sacred principles. We have favored strangers' petitions. We have flirted with Sodom's perversions. In my little country town, I live in a little old tract of land. 2,100 people make up the town. I live right on the outskirts of the East Alabama line and the West Georgia line. Half of the church I pastor is half Georgia, half Alabama. In the store in my little hometown, there were two ladies walked in the other day in the hardware store, and one little old child looked up and called the woman daddy. We in trouble. I want to say this tonight. Some of your families caught up in homosexuality. There's hope for them. This gospel offers hope to everybody. It is the sin of abomination, young people. And I don't care what your school books is saying, that it's an adapted policy. It's a lie out of hell tonight. You were not born that way. You have desires that are rare up in your heart that must be killed by the Word of God. It's sin. I want to say this to people before I leave. Some of the greatest families I pastor in our church have children caught up in this lifestyle, and their hearts is tore out in the floor. There was a young lady saved in our church, Brother Jeff, 4 weeks ago, gloriously saved and reached by the gospel in that lifestyle. You know what it done to my families in the church? It give them hope. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. You say, well, preacher, what Romans 1 said about that? The Bible said those that would not retain God in their mind, didn't want to listen to Him, He turned them over to a reprobate mind. We don't know where that deadline is, but it is out there. Tonight, America's in trouble, the broadcast. We've forsaken the sovereign's person. I wonder how God feels. We sit there and we shake our... Did y'all know that in 1968, I'm going to tell my age now, in 1968, I was in the first grade. You know what my school teacher had on her lap? She had a King James Bible on one knee and a paddle on the other, and I was scared of both of them. And now we don't have either. There's a lot of my age people and older here tonight. I won't say this to you. I won't look you in the eyeball when I say it to you. I don't want to back up and run when I say it. I'm scared for our grandbabies. Somebody better be doing something about what's going on. You see, the broadcast, America's in trouble. Nehemiah said, have y'all heard what's happened to the homeland? We've forsaken the sovereign's person. We fainted at sacred principles. We favored strangers' petitions. We flirted at Sodom's perversions. But lastly, we faltered on scriptural preaching. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, preached his heart out to people. I said this last night to reiterate tonight. God put a preacher in your life not to hurt you, but to help you and be a blessing to you. You see, that's the broadcast. Now go back to the text, and I'm going to close tonight. I want to share this thought with you back to the book of Nehemiah. And you'll notice the story here in Nehemiah. Not only do we see a broadcast, but now we see a burden. The Bible said that Verse number 4, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Wouldn't that be a blessing tonight if this broadcast brought a burden? You know, one of the greatest things, Brother Jeff, that I see preaching around this country, it's really not people that don't believe the Bible. We believe the Bible. Y'all know we believe this Bible. Why, you know it's so. It's Bible. You've heard those saying, well, man, that's Bible. We believe the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. Even though it's different flocks here tonight, we're all laborers together. We got a lot of things in common. We all got heartaches, and we've all got opportunities and feelings, and we've all got goals and things that we want to have in our life. But I'm going to tell you what I see missing in churches that I preach in, and my home church as well. You know, the greatest thing I see that's missing is a burden. That old church I saved in, they said back yonder in the older days that mule and buggies in revival times, the women would get on the left side of the church and the men on the right, and they was calling out their loved one's name. Said that the house was so full to preaching that they'd back them wagons up and they'd raise them old winders up. And the men had sat out there on them wagons just to listen to the man of God preach. And then when the man of God had given an invitation, the altar wouldn't hold the burdens of the people. I guess I'd ask you this. He sat down, fasted, and wept and mourned certain days. I've noticed this, that if something don't mean nothing to us, we don't pray much about it. But if something really means something to us, we'll pray a lot about it. And so I guess I'd ask y'all to say this and to just ponder on this tonight. Brother Jeff, you be thinking what you want on an invitation, but I know folks is tired. But if you won't pray for your loved ones, who's going to? There's a lady come up to me last night. I don't even know if she's here or not, Brother Jeff. I don't know what church she belongs to. I guess that's what's so unique about coming to a place. Nobody knows me. I don't know them. I can just preach and let God deal with stuff. But she told me up here a burden in her heart. She said, I want you to pray for me. And this is what I do every morning of my life. I've got an altar. I go into my altar before anything starts my day. I go to my altar. And I was so afraid that this woman entrusted me to pray that I'd forget here in this motel this morning. I said, well, let's just pray right now. Wouldn't that be a blessing if God had put in your heart so? First of all, He had put a burden in you like you've never had. A burden for our country. Man, do you realize there's a man that's left Washington today? He's flew across seas trying to negotiate something to keep a lot of our young uns from getting killed. I'm not here to try to get you to take sides. I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. And I'm going to stand on this book till the world comes to an end. But we got to agree in one thing. Boy, it's bad. But it's good where He's at. And He can change anything here. Amen. Brother Jeff, I don't know what you want for an invitation tonight, but if you'd call on it, I want to close with this thought. If I could leave anything with you this week, it'd change your life, change your church. Young people, that'd change your school. It'd be what I'm fixing to say right now. If you'd find you a place where you live,
to pray. To pray. And stay at praying. God answered my prayer week before last. I've been praying earnestly 6 years. God answered my prayer. I come to tell you tonight, God's still answering prayer. Prayer does change things. It's changed me. It'll change you if you get at it. I wished I knew. I want to ask y'all something. Y'all a fine-looking family. Would it be okay if I get them four young ladies to stand right here by? Would y'all girls just come here just a minute by the preacher? I don't know you, and I don't want to overstep my bounds. If I was at my home church, I'd know who to call on. But I want to tell you, y'all special little old young'uns, you've got a good family to have you here tonight. Won't you look out yonder? They are counting on us. This school can't tell them nothing. But you can. Would that be a blessing if the news done to you what it did to Nehemiah? He run to the king. And the king said, "What's wrong with you? Why are you so sad and hard?" He said, "Why shouldn't I be sad and hard?" He said, "The walls are broken down and the gates are burned. But I believe we got a God can fix it all tonight. I believe we got a God can change your whole church. I believe we got a God can blow under this camp. I tell you one thing, we got to get right with God ourselves. And then get right with our brother and sister. And then pray to the God of heaven to give us something like our forefathers had days gone by." Thank you, children. You're such a blessing. Whatever you need tonight, this family's going to play. You ought to gather around these altars. You young people ought to come. There's ever been a time that we need God to give us our burden to take us places that nothing else will. Preachers, oh, we need our people. How I wish the God of heaven had put a burden in my people. Come tonight and just mind the Lord. They're going to sing and play. Pray for yourself and pray for our country. Pray for your lost loved ones. I'm glad he said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm going on that promise tonight. He loves us. Sinner friend, if you've never been saved, it'd be a great night for you to get saved. And a title do I hold. Lord, some of you may need to go to somebody tonight and straighten some things up. For I want to do. I'd sure want it right with me tonight. And I want to help. You come this mind in this season. With all of my heart, I can pray till the walls come down. That's something I. Oh, God, help us. Help our country, Lord. Help our churches to stand true to you. Oh, God, help us to stand on this book. Help our leadership, Lord, in this country. God, we ask you again to bless America.